Let's shift gears here. I see him in the waiting room, ready to rock and roll. Joining us now, as he does each and every Monday during baseball season, it's legendary lifetime Longhorn and World Series champion, Greg Swindell. Zeke, it's good to see you, man. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
We're doing fantastic, man. And my putting green is open to you, Major League Baseball player. I take on all professionals. If you fall down, I'm here for you. If you can't putt, I'm here for you. I can't do anything to help you drive the ball longer. I just can't. I'm too weak to get anybody. I can't do anything for anybody's driving.
Well, they say it's not the bow and arrow, Bucky. So I'm
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if a putting green will help. I can keep it straight. I can get it to the green. Sometimes I was a 12-year-old putt-putt champion in Houston back in the day.
Really?
They had the old putt-putt golf.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 12-year-old champ. I got a putter and a ball and a little gift certificate.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Putt-putt
junior. Did you play golf like in high school or anything, Zeke?
No, never. Never, man. I had to work growing up. I didn't have time to play golf.
You weren't one of these country club kids.
No. Well, we used to sneak on the country club.
There you go.
And fish.
Yeah.
That's my son. He would sneak onto the old Circle C and get 5 or 6 pound bass there. He'd go out there with a little nightlight on the top of his hat and fish the ponds.
We did that in Houston at Braeburn Country Club, right down the street from Sharpstown High School. And we would sneak under the fence and fish. And we saw Mr. Ray coming in the golf cart. We would run and go back under the fence and leave until that one day he caught us. He caught us. Called our parents, had to wait there till 9 o'clock. Dad was working. And then eventually I became a member of Braeburn Country Club.
Reminded
Mr. Ray, and he probably chased a lot of kids off the golf course back in the day. He didn't remember who we were, but that's a pretty funny story. Good fish and good golf over there in Sharpstown.
Nice.
You're a good man, Zeke.
Representing
there you go.
Apollo today.
How about that? Well, you're a good man, because I'm a grudge holder. So I would have been like, oh, once I become a member of this club, I'm telling Mr. Ray he can't be here anymore. He's kicked out forever, banned for life. Good for you for taking the high road there, sir. Goodness gracious. Well, little Longhorn baseball. Great weekend for the most part for Texas. We'll start with the bad, I guess. And maybe it's not bad. Maybe it's not a whole lot of anything. But Ruggeri Rojas, obviously a bit of a surprise for everybody. That regular season finale on Saturday, Rojas gets the start on senior day. He gets the first out. Seems like, all right, here we go. He's about to settle in. And then out comes Jim Schlossnagel to take him out of the game. Now, Schloss said after the game, it's nothing serious. Just wanted to give him some rest. But would love to get your thoughts. I know you analyze these pitchers very closely. You know what you've seen from Ruggeri Rojas, and is there any cause for concern with the fact that he only faced one batter on Saturday?
Well, I mean, you look a couple of weeks ago, they moved him back a day because he was sore and doing all his things. Only went 70 pitches in the next start. And then yesterday, I mean, if you're going to give him senior day props, just let him go out and get his little picture and take pictures with his family. But obviously he can still throw. Everything was there. He warmed up, got through the pregame routine. If it was scheduled, I mean, it caught everybody by surprise, but they did have Walls warming up in the bullpen already. So yep. It was, if you look at it, it could have been, a thing, and then it was only 5 pitches. So, but his velocity was only 88 in those 5 pitches. So was he just taking it easy just to get the one out and whatever? So I was surprised. I mean, I've texted Zonk. I'm like, what's going on here? What's going on? And of course, Zonk doesn't answer his phone during games. I don't know why. He's a little busy. But, I don't think it's a concern for Rojas. And like I said, it could be – he could have one game left. He could have 2 games left. And whatever he has left in the Texas uniform, he's going to go out and give it his best once these playoffs start. Hopefully it's 3 or 4 starts.
You know, Greg, there's so much extra time that you can give to a guy like that. I think you noticed – a couple of weeks ago, the velocity was different. Arm angles were starting to get a little different with him. And, you know, BK said before we started this, maybe that dude's just tired, you know. And some people, you know, some guys that have been pitching a long, long time, you know, they're like iron horse, you know, they're just going to keep on going. But sometimes you just get tired and people see that in you. I think you saw that in his velocity and angles. And maybe that's just all it is.
But yeah, and one thing that you can look at too, when pitchers start changing angles with their arm, that means they can't get their arm up here. Mm-hmm. So they drop a little bit. And now it starts to get sore here, and I'm dropping a little bit more.
Sure.
Trust me, I've been there. I wanted to stay in, and eventually you have to give in. I think we've seen that in Max Grubbs this year. He didn't have any of the numbers he's had the years before, and now we know why. He had season-ending surgery over the weekend. So things happen, and Ruber, he's a gamer. We've seen him out there. He's gonna do it whether he has to throw underhand. But yeah, you could definitely see something, and hopefully it was just want to rest him and see what happens. And I think I read where the first game of the SEC tournament when Texas plays, that I don't think they're starting Volantis is what I think I saw. So maybe Ruger's going to come back for that game. So who knows? But either way, they ended up the season, the seven games. I wanted 7-0. We got 5-2. We got the 40 wins. They moved up or stayed in the middle, stayed at number 5 in the rankings. So did well. Offense came alive this week. It had to. They gave up a few more runs than normal. But when you're pitching, you want to see those monster shots. I know that from the offense.
Definitely. Legendary Lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here. Yeah, Zeke, you kind of answered my next question already, but would love to get sort of your biggest takeaways. Look, Missouri's not very good. They finished last in the SEC. I mean, it's what it's supposed to look like when a team as good as Texas hosts a team as bad as Mizzou. But your maybe most positive takeaways from what you saw from the Longhorns, and do you feel like they can carry some of that momentum into the postseason?
They definitely can. And I think the one thing before we get to that is Schlossnagel's not going to wait till the day before game. When they go to Hoover. Last year, they waited till Thursday to get to Hoover. You want to get there, get the experience, see the facilities, see how the tournament's going, and just live the postseason life. So they're going earlier, which I think is good. But the momentum, sure. Robin's getting sick, I think, is a bad thing, but I think it's a good thing. You got to see we got to see all brother outfield, Bucky. We had three brothers in the outfield this weekend. Haven't seen that in a while.
That's for sure.
And got to see Pendergrass get in there and play. Gumbo had a big weekend coming, stepping in. So those things are good. Cody Howard, he got extended on the mound. He gave up a few runs, but you're going to need him now that Max Grubbs went down. You got to see Caleb Rogers come in for one batter to end the season, burn a red shirt. I think it's for a reason, because Max Grubbs went down. You're going to need another right-handed arm down there with the big righty struggling a little bit, Crossland. And so as many arms as you could get in there, it was a good weekend. They swept. But the biggest takeaway for me was the offense. I mean, Tinney, he's had four monster shots this year, tied the Hispanic Titanic with that for the season, and could possibly break it in the postseason. So offense looked good. They're still being aggressive on the base paths. Biggest concern would be, like Sloss said, some guys on the bump need to clean it up. They need to throw more strikes. And you don't have time to practice anymore. It's postseason. You get the SEC tournament, maybe one game, maybe three games to clean it up. And then you're playing for keeps when the regionals start. And that's just a couple weeks away.
You know, when you start getting closer and closer with super regionals and things like that, where you know, you got to win these games. Greg, I just noticed that this baseball team is, you know, during the season, you earn the right to get on first base, you know, take the walk, let's go on, we'll score, the next guy will move me over or whatever. These guys come up to the plate over the last couple of weeks, even against Tennessee, they're swinging at, if you put it in the strike zone, they're swinging at it. They're not looking to walk, they're looking to hit their way onto the base.
And that's Loss's big thing. I think Texas leads the nation in first pitch taking. And so you change it up a little bit as you get closer to the postseason, because usually that first fastball is going to be the best one you see,
right,
and you jump all over it. Sometimes it doesn't help. Sometimes it will help when you swing at that first one. I like the aggressiveness. They can hit the ball. They can obviously hit the ball out of the park and all the way up and down the lineup. And looking at the one guy who at one point had 5 home runs and 8 at-bats, who had been struggling, Borba, that's a really good sign for Texas. moving now into the tournament, into the postseason. So yeah, go up there, be aggressive. There's going to be times when you're taken, but I like it. Make the pitcher adjust to you.
Yep.
You don't adjust to him at that point.
Yeah, legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here. A couple more for you, Zeke. You know, I think I know your answer because you're a ball player, you're a competitor, but I'm going to ask it anyways. You know, the SEC tournament is this week. Texas gets the double bye. They won't play until Friday. I mean, the Longhorns have already done enough to wrap up a top eight national seed. Like, that's the big goal. You get to control your path to Omaha by playing every game in your home ballpark. Now, last year, Texas lost their SEC tournament opener, ended up losing in the regional. Feels like there's a lot of back and forth amongst this fan base where, okay, do we take the SEC tournament seriously, or do we just, we don't really care about it. We want to make sure we stay healthy. Let's turn all of our attention to the NCAA tournament. How do you go about handling, I don't want to say a meaningless tournament because it's not that, but something that's obviously not as big as what's coming up starting next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you still have a chance to win three more games. You still have a chance to move up to maybe five or four and get paired up differently in a super regional. You're not playing until Friday. That's a three-game weekend. That's just like a conference weekend. So if you lose Friday, okay. You other guys can go back to Austin and get some throwing in, but I'm treating it just like a regular three-game weekend because to me it's big. You saw what happened last year. They started – I don't think we'll see Ethan Walker start the game this year, whoever they play. So I go at them just like it's a normal weekend. Get your guys some work. If it's close and guys are tired because it might be hot and whoever, then you might get them a rest. But I'm starting all my guys. I'm starting my top three pitchers. I'm doing everything normal. And hopefully – I mean, I would like to see them get three wins. Three wins and win the tournament. And, I mean, if they do that, I think you move up a few spots in the rankings and you know, you have a better taste in your mouth coming back to Austin for a regional.
For sure. Yeah, definitely carry some more momentum going into the regional round. And I guess my last question, Zeke, Dylan Volantis, another incredible performance on Friday. Nice bounce back for him. Nice bounce back for the entire team after the disappointment in Knoxville the previous weekend. But you think Dylan Volantis has done enough to earn that SEC Pitcher of the Year award this year?
Yeah, I mean, bias, yeah. Yep. You look at his numbers. He's one of the best in the country. I think, what's this guy's name? The guy, kid in Florida King. He's really good. There's a lot of good pitchers out there, but I think those two stand out as the best pitcher in the SEC. But I think Volantis proved it last year, being the Freshman of the Year. Came back this year with a lot of pressure on him, to be that guy and stepped up. So I see no reason why he couldn't win the Pitcher of the Year in the SEC.
Yeah,
he's proven it on the mound, and his numbers don't lie.
Yeah, Aiden King at Florida's a stud, but Volantis has a lower ERA, more strikeouts, a lower batting average again.
Just a tick better in all those stats is Volantis.
Yep, and to me, that makes it pretty obvious right there who that award should be going to. But I'm biased like you, Zeke, so we'll see what actually happens. Great stuff, as always. Hopefully, at this time next week, we're talking about an SEC tournament championship. But either way, we appreciate the time and look forward to previewing the postseason next time we chop it up.
Yeah, this time next week will be a selection show. So
there you go.
A little bit after we come on the air this time next week, Memorial Day.
Yeah, Memorial Day. Oh, yeah, we might have to push till Tuesday. You know, we'll give you – you've earned the Monday off, Zeke. We'll give you Memorial Day off.
I got to tell you, Tuesday, I think – what's Tuesday? The 11th? Okay, I'm still here Tuesday. I got to go coach my Galveston Sand Crabs. I got to go next week down to Galveston to be – I'm pitching coach this summer.
Nice.
For a wooden bat league. So we're getting there on the 26th so we can practice and meet the kids and get everything in order. So
first you got to get down there early, get some fishing in.
Oh, yeah. The owner of the team's got a nice bay house. So I'm just going around the back. I'm going on right on the back porch.
Nice. Coaching a bunch of crabs, too. I like that. That'll be good. The sand crabs, Galveston sand crabs.
They had baseball in Galveston in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and they were the sand crabs. And so the owner did some research and came up with purple and gold. like Galveston Ball, I guess. They're purple and gold. And we're going to be the Sand Crabs.
I love it.
It'll be fun. I mean, something different. Coach some kids and hopefully
have some fun, man.
Owner's a stickler. He wants to win the championship already. So got a lot of pressure on us.
All right. Oh, you're going to lose your job if the pitching staff's not going right. That's what I'm hearing. Oh, man. Well, good luck.
I signed a multi-year deal. That's okay.
There you go.
You're going to get paid. Make sure that buyout money's in place.
You got to get paid before any.
All right, buddy. Listen, thank you so much.
That is fantastic. Oh, I think Zeke's freezing on us. Oh, there we go. All right, Zeke. We'll talk next week. See you, man. Hook him.
All right.
There he goes. Legendary lifetime Longhorn, Greg Swindell. Good Texas baseball conversation. Look, I figured Zeke would answer the question about the SEC tournament the way he did, right? I mean, he's a competitor. He wants to win. You've got a chance to win a conference title and get a trophy. I mean, those are all big, big deals. I just wonder how serious the coaching staff is going to take this in terms of, again, because of what's at stake, the NCAA tournament starting next week. You want to make sure that you've got all hands on deck to go on a deep postseason run, unlike last year where you didn't. I'm curious how the coaching staff kind of handles Hoover, Alabama later this
week. Well, yeah, I mean, if you're winning and you seize the momentum, you keep riding that wave. If it's screwing up your health, then it's no good. But I think you want that opportunity to get to stay aggressive at the plate like they've been doing. So I think it's another opportunity. Hey, it's more bats, it's more pitches.
Yeah. And, you know, again, last year, I don't know if people believe in trends or themes or anything like that, but last year Texas lost their first game of the SEC tournament despite being the one seed. Remember, the Longhorns won the SEC regular season crown. They got the double bye. They were the one seed, and they lost in extra innings to Tennessee. And then they ended up losing in the regional in Austin the weekend later. Maybe they put a little bit more emphasis on, okay, now let's go out there and try to win three games. So we've got more momentum and more confidence, both at the plate and on the mound, going into the real tourney. Who knows?
Yeah, the coach, you know what the coach is going to say. Of course it's important to us.
Yeah, I know what he's going to say, but
until you lose and say, oh, we needed the rest.
Yeah, Ethan Walker, as Zeke mentioned, Ethan Walker's a reliever, still in the bullpen this year, but he started the Longhorns SEC tournament open. A guy didn't start a series opening game all year last year for Texas. So clearly they showed up late. They started a guy they wouldn't normally start. They didn't have the – like, once the game started, it's not like guys were up there trying to strike out and, oh, we don't care. We're just going to kick the ball around and get run ruled. Like, they're
trying.
But
you know going into it what the mindset seems to be.
Right. But if I don't know, maybe Luke Harrison pitches on Friday, like if it's just a random bullpen arm again, then to me it's – no, they want to get ready for the actual tournament, which I'm not going to complain about. All right, good stuff. We'll take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch chats are rocking and rolling as well. We'll continue the Longhorn conversation. We've got football landing a commitment, men's basketball landing a commitment over the weekend, and also Bucky's favorite, Aaron Rodgers is back with the Steelers. We'll get to those stories in a bit, but first, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, if you're seeking special patient-focused orthopedic care, do contact the experts at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adult, spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, dedicated orthopedic surgeons there, and all-around good guys for sure. Their goal is to get you back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Texas Orthopedics. Also, a shout out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. Got some more storms coming this week.
Yes, indeed.
Something happens to your roof. Reach out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. Look, you should have your roof looked at. It's one of the most important parts of your home. It is the thing that keeps everybody safe, after all. Insurance companies recommend you get your roof checked out twice a year. Qualis says, hey, once a year is perfectly fine. But if you want to make sure your home is ready for all of the rain that we've got coming up, reach out to our friends at Qualis. They're not storm chasers. They're not fly by night. They've been around and they are going to stay around. They've got a great team here in Central Texas. They also have a great team up in the Metroplex as well. They specialize in both residential and commercial roofing projects. more than 700 five-star reviews online. They are the absolute best at what they do. Fantastic people, super communicative. They do high-quality work. And oh, by the way, the inspections are free. Free inspections, free storm assessments. They'll come out, look at your roof. If something minor is wrong, they can fix it for cheap. If something minor is wrong and you don't have them out to inspect it, it could turn into something major down the line that costs you a hell of a lot of money. Call on our friends at Qualys right now. Again, they'll come out to your place for free. They'll also buy you a free Longhorn shirt just for having them out. QualysGC.com is their website, or you can give them a call at 512-257-0033. It's the Big Q, Qualys Roofing and Construction.
Folks, Matt Kreher, a burger company, is proud to be a place where you can come in hungry and leave full. And that's exactly what they're all about. Great burgers, fries, and shakes, of course. 30 locations throughout the state of Texas. Great playgrounds for kids. And folks, they have great happy hour for the adults also. So it's great. Man, their locations are fantastic. I'm going to have Hat Creek Burger tomorrow, BK. Golf day tomorrow, Hat Creek Burger day for the buck. Nice. And I may even have Hat Creek Burger and just maybe a couple nuggies. Since I've had those nuggies, now I'm a nuggie guy at Hat Creek Burger. I didn't think I was going to be a chicken man at a burger place, but boy, are their nuggies delicious. And so are the shakes. By the way, I went a little bit crazy there while I was at the Mullet Open there. You know, once I get away and I get there and start getting into the shakes, I got into the Amy's ice cream at the hotel, BK. I had like five large ice creams. But now I can get to my place, and Hat Creek Burger has the best shakes. I am going to try them all this week. I will have one on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's going to be raining. Hey, nothing like taking one of those great shakes indoors with you to your house. But you can do all that good stuff at our good friends at Hat Creek Burger Company. Yeah, this is going to be Tuesday. I'm going to go straight through the week with a shake every day.
How are the people supposed to believe anything that you're saying right now? You ate five large ice creams in one day?
I had five throughout the weekend there. From Thursday to Saturday, I had five large ice creams at the hotel. And they were
not, you know, Amy's. You said Amy's. You didn't go to Amy's five different times.
Oh no, I didn't go to Amy's. I was at the hotel. They I think they have Amy's right there at the hotel. So that's exactly what I had. I had five large cups. Every time I went to the room, I had a cup of ice cream going with me.
That's awesome. And it was free?
Well, the folks in there in the evenings gave me the freebies.
Nice. Oh, I like that. The folks there in the evenings, huh?
Yes. I don't want
to call them woman of the night.
They were fabulous. Oh my goodness, was that good. That is my one time of the year where I get loose. My wife's at the house and I got 2 days at that hotel and I go nuts. And the one night I didn't even eat dinner. I had ice cream instead.
Oh, so they were women of the night, huh? You got loose with the pros. Nice. Good move by you, sir. I like what you're doing there.
Oh, I love that ice cream. I'm sitting in a room, no clothes on, sitting there naked with ice cream on my belly right there, a little cup of ice cream. It was great.
That's a visual right there. Appreciate that.
Considering the one I was got stuck in the tub, I couldn't get out of the tub.
Yeah, you did tell that story, which is
awful.
All-time classic already.
And now the buck is now going to get handicap rooms at hotels. I'll give in to that because, as you said, my wife said the same thing you said. Do not take a tub at a hotel tub. What is wrong with you? Well, I mean, what's going in there? What kind of filthy animals going in the tub? What are they bringing their dogs to wash the dog at the tub?
Yeah, I don't like the bathtub even at my own place, but I really would not trust it at a public hotel like that.
Well, don't you think the people that clean the rooms don't clean the tubs? Well, I mean, if they see if it looks clean, they probably will bypass that.
Yes. You're right. I don't think every day they're going in there, you know, getting on their hands and knees, scrubbing the tub clean.
Scrub a dub dubby.
That's what I would want. I think the only way I'd be a bath guy is if, like, when I own a home, I install the bath myself so I know nobody else has used it. That's the only way it would fly with me. I barely want to be sitting in my own filth. I don't want to be sitting in anyone else's filth.
Don't forget, I'm part cowboy. I don't mind sitting in my own filth.
You're part Brokeback. They call you Brokeback Bucky for a reason, right?
No, dude. I saw the Cowboys sitting in there. They didn't change their water. They just said, hey, you're up next. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. You're a cowboy. You ride around on a steel horse, I'm sure, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of gross. But, yeah, for me getting out of the tub one leg at a time, falling onto the floor because there's no handrails there, I got to get to those rooms, yes.
That's a tough scene.
My wife said, do it, make it easy. Just take a shower, fool.
I wish they had video of that.
No, that was awful.
That would be awesome. I feel like most people are against, you know, hidden cameras in the hotel. Very illegal, actually. But if there's a video of you like struggling to get out of the bathtub in your hotel room and then having to flop on the floor, basically, to get out, that would be.
I look like a big, big red fish flopping around.
Fish out of water, huh?
Fish out of water. Plus, I'd let all the water out of the tub first before I, after about six tries.
Oh, my God.
And banging against the walls, I'm thinking somebody's going to come in there and they're going to open up the door and there I am. Or I didn't want to hit my head and have my be face down in the tub in 3 inches of water. That would have been an awful way to go, too.
That would have been a hilarious way to go.
Oh,
goodness. All right, we'll take your thoughts on all of that. Yeah, the Buck needs handicapped rooms at hotels now. Pour some out for him there. Let's get into a little more Longhorn conversation. A pretty successful weekend on the recruiting trail for both Texas football and Texas men's basketball, as Steve Sarkisian and Sean Miller both picking up commitments from new players. We'll start with Texas football. On Friday, just after noon, the Longhorns landed a commitment from four-star tight end Brock Williams from Libertyville, Illinois, 6'4", 6'5". For those of you who are tuned into the visual portion of the show, we've got some huddle tape playing right now. Yeah, 6'4", 6'5", 210 to 215 pounds. He's the fourth-ranked tight end in the country, according to the composite rankings. ESPN actually has him as the number two tight end in this class of 2027. He's a top 80 player overall, regardless of position. 44 catches, 596 receiving yards, 11 touchdowns in just 10 games as a junior at Libertyville High in 2025. Also had a kickoff return and a punt return touchdown as well, Buck.
Who are those Pop Warner guys he's playing against there? My goodness.
Illinois high school football, man.
Wow.
Used to recruit that area, didn't you?
Oh, they kept me out of that state. I went into Chicago every once in a while, but my goodness.
Well, when you were coaching at Illinois, you had to recruit around there, right?
Oh, I did. Yeah, he looks like a really good athlete.
Yeah, again, he's tall. He's a little skinny. Got to put some more meat on the bones.
Oh, yeah.
6'4", 6'5", only 210 pounds or so, but he is a great athlete. I mean, his highlight tape is very impressive. He runs by people. He also can do a lot with the ball in his hands. He's got a good catch radius. He can go up and get some 50-50 balls.
That looks like a big wideout, yeah.
Yeah, and this, you know, Brock Williams is not your old-school extra offensive lineman type of tight end, right? This is a guy, you can't put him on the line of scrimmage, and he can give you a little something as a blocker, but you can also flex him out wide, and he can win one-on-one against linebackers and safeties with ease. Obviously, in high school, he can win against good cornerbacks, too, pretty easily.
Oh, for sure.
Obviously, a different level going from Illinois high school football to the Southeastern Conference. I think everybody knows this.
Yeah, but what you can see in him is you can see he's got some pretty good explosion off the line of scrimmage, too.
And also, again, it goes back to the athlete point, right? The fact that this guy is returning punts and kicks for his high school. Like, you typically do that for your best athletes on the team, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you'll see quarterbacks returning punts because they're the best athlete, receiver, running back, DB, whatever. It's like, whoever the best guy, here's some highlights right there of him returning a kickoff. Whoever our best athlete is in space, that's the guy that we want back there on special teams. And Brock Williams. So that just goes to show you the type of athlete that we're talking about here.
Yeah, he's got room to grow for sure, which he will.
Yeah. And, you know, he's actually the second tight end commitment that the Longhorns have in this class of 2027. The other one is a guy by the name of JT Gracie. And Gracie's more of your inline blocker, more of your big body block first type of guy. So with these two committed, Gracie, who's been pledged to Texas for a while, and now Brock Williams, who gave his pledge on Friday, you've got two tight ends, which means your class is done at that position. But you also have two different sizes, two different skill sets. You're looking for a complete room, guys who can do multiple things. Feels like Texas has found it with these two players.
Oh, for sure.
So I like it. I didn't even realize this. According to CB, it's been 24 years since the Longhorns have landed a player from the state of Illinois.
Yeah, he looks like the kind of guy, BK, if he grows into that 235, 240 range, boy, you'll have something special. He'll get big in a hurry because he's got a lot of room to grow.
This is a big recruiting win for Texas. This was a national recruitment, and the yes. two other finalists were Georgia and Ohio State. So any win you could get against those schools, you will absolutely take.
Yeah, especially when Georgia's looking at him as a tight end, because they generally have found some pretty good tight ends lately.
Yes, they have. And, I mean, Ohio State and Georgia are both closer to where he's from than Texas.
For sure.
And the Longhorns did a great job. Like, Texas was a distant third in this recruitment for a while. And Brock Williams took his first visit to Austin for the Arkansas game last November. And since then, he had visited the 40 acres four different times.
Wow.
Which was more than he had been to Columbus and Athens combined. So Texas prioritized him, clearly. They made him a focal point of their efforts in this 2027 class. And clearly Brock Williams was feeling at home. He kept wanting to come back. And the Longhorns did a great job, cultivating this relationship. Give Jeff Banks some credit. Texas has not recruited tight end super well. Brock Williams is actually the highest rated tight end recruit that Texas has, and they haven't signed him yet. We got to wait till December for that to happen. But if he does sign, he'll be the highest rated tight end pickup in the Sark era, which is obviously the Jeff Banks era.
We're still looking to see who the tight end is here. That's not from a transfer portal.
Yeah, and Nick Townsend has that distinction as of right now, who was part of last year's cycle. We saw him play a little bit as a freshman, had that touchdown on the jet sweep run against Texas A&M late in the year, but didn't play a lot, was behind Jack injuries on the depth chart. But yeah, the last couple of years, Texas doing a much better job in terms of high school recruiting with tight ends. And I think it's a pretty easy sell, Buck, because the Longhorns have had a tight end drafted 3 years in a row.
You're right.
So it's like you come to Texas. I mean, Jatavion Sanders, Gunnar Helm, Jack injuries, boom, boom, boom. You come here, we are going to develop you into a Sunday player. That's a very good thing to pitch to high schoolers.
Yeah, like I said, he'll get that weight on him that you're looking for, where he can do some things at the end of the line. And, but he's got that quickness. He's got a little bit of quick twitch too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to if you're returning punts and kickoffs.
100%. 100%. I like this get for Texas. Again, position of need. And I mean, you're going to lose Michael Masunis after this year. I'm curious what the tight end room is going to look like in 2027, but you're stockpiling bodies, but also multiple skill sets as well. And again, getting one inline blocking tight end and then one more long, athletic, fluid, receiving first type of player that really helps grow the room into something that you are wanting it to look like.
For sure.
So there you go. So that was the football pickup for the Longhorns on Friday. Sean Miller added another player on Friday. There's a Mattis on the team with Mattis Vokatidis.
Yes.
Now there's also a Mantas on the team. How about a countryman, a fellow Lithuanian joining the fray at Texas? We've got Mattis Vokatidis. Now we've got Mantas Laurinčikas.
Laurinčikas.
I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I spent a lot of time this weekend trying to find a pronunciation for this guy. I failed to find it. So we're doing our best. Maybe Craig, I should have just called Craig Way. He would know already.
Just go ahead and get that from him.
Craig Way calls so many games. He's probably called three of this guy's games in Lithuania or France.
Probably. Knows how to get to his house.
Yeah. Give you turn-by-turn directions from here to Lithuania. Oh, man. But, 6'4". He's a point guard, not a big man like Mattis. But funny enough, they are represented by the same agency. And this is a guy who's played professional basketball overseas for a few years, played in France's top league this past season, put up pretty good numbers, averaged 13 points per game, and also 4.5 rebounds and 4 assists. Shot 45% from the floor, 78% from the free throw line. Not bad. 19-year-old kid who's got 4 years of eligibility left. Again, he's already been playing against grown men overseas for the last few years, so that helps his development. In saying all of that, though, I feel like this is more of a developmental piece for Texas basketball versus a guy who's going to come in and make an instant impact in year one.
Well, I mean, you see it. See how he handles the ball. See how he handles as a point guard. Can he handle, you know, the pressure of press and all that other stuff? Well, we know he can handle physical play if he's been playing overseas.
Yeah, and I watched some of his highlights over the weekend. I mean, he's a high IQ player. You could tell he's got a pretty good feel for the game. Totally different brand of basketball in Europe versus what they play here in American college basketball. But look, Sean Miller loves recruiting internationally. Like, he has done an elite job over his few decades of being a college head coach of finding talent from all over the world.
Right.
And turning those guys into NBA draft picks. I mean, guys like Lauri Markkanen and DeAndre Ayton and Christian Koloko and Josh Green, all at Arizona. Obviously, Matas Fokatidis, you bring him up. I know he was at Florida Atlantic before coming to Texas, but still an international guy that Sean Miller was able to identify. And Matas took a huge step last year. So, yeah, I like this. I mean, you get some depth at point guard. Maybe Matas comes in and contributes right away. But look, you're building your roster. You're not always just focused on the here and now. You're looking for some long-term development pieces. And this guy's a lot cheaper than going out and paying for a five-star recruit out of high school or out of the portal, too.
You're right.
So I like to get. I trust Sean Miller here. And, yeah, he's gone to the international well a few times already at Texas. Now he does it again with Matas. How did I pronounce it the first time? Do you remember?
Vokachita? Yeah, I know what you said. Call him the cheetah.
Lauren Chicas.
Okay.
He picks up Chicas.
Very good.
That's what he does right there. So not only is he good on the court, but he's good off the court too.
Let's get it done, son.
That is my own analysis there. I can't confirm if that's true or not. I don't know if that's part of the recruiting process for
Sean.
Boy,
Sean Miller's had a quite the year so far.
Yeah, yes. And the Longhorns have one scholarship spot still available. Don't expect a big-time, big-money transfer. I mean, just about all of those guys are already signed to other schools or to Texas by now. But I expect one more big man to be added to the fray. Maybe it's a developmental kind of stash player like Mr. Chicas, or maybe it's just a backup guy who can't contribute right away.
Hey, maybe Sean Miller owes that favor somebody.
Who's that? Across
the land. You know, maybe. He may owe somebody one.
He's only been here for 1 year, though. You think he is already owing favors to, like, high school coaches in the state of Texas?
Well, maybe not owe him a favor, but I would say that somebody said, I got one here for you. He's not going to be highly recruited, but he's really good, coach. You got to take a shot. He may be able to say, okay, yeah. You got this other young sophomore coming up here in another year or so. So maybe I'll give you a shot with this one, you know?
Could be. And yeah, look, Sean Miller has got great relationships with coaches all over the world. So I'm sure he's talking. I'm sure he's doing his homework, looking for the finishing touches on this.
Has been in the Big East. He's probably got a baller from New York coming late.
All right. If he's a baller, I don't care where he's from. Bring him in.
That's right.
If the guy could play, I'd love to get some more front court depth. Again, Texas has done a tremendous job already. Guys like David Punch, who's your starting power forward. Elijah Freeman's going to help on the wing as well. You've got John Clark and Luis Obiora coming back, a couple of big men who didn't contribute much this past season but are expected to have much bigger roles in their second years on the 40 acres. I mean, you're at a point where you don't need somebody super impactful, but if you can find a baller, then by all means, get you a baller.
Get you a baller. Bring him on in.
Get you a baller. I'll pay some. I'll Venmo $5 to Sean Miller. That'll be
there. You go. Now you're talking.
That'll be my contribution. I'm doing my part. Hey, I'm the leader of the fan club. I'm not the leader of the Texas One Fund. Okay. I'm just the Texas basketball fan guy. All right.
Yes, and that thing is growing, and it's going to continue to grow.
Bandwagon still open. We're looking for.
Yeah, that thing is growing now.
Yeah, women, men, children, whoever, wherever, we'll take you. We need you. In my lifelong quest to turn Texas into a basketball school, need all the help we can get.
You're going to, but that's all right. They've taken a pretty good step.
Yes, they have.
In year one.
They are investing into that team and into the coach, and that's awesome because everybody knows this. You need to invest to win in college sports these days. You always kind of had to invest, but obviously now you're paying the players legally. So that's the big investment in Texas. We talked about it last week. I think it was the day you were out, but Rodney and I talked about how somebody did the research and found the financial donations to sports for every school in the SEC, and Texas was number one on that list by a long shot.
Of course.
So you wonder how Texas has been able to win four of the last five Director's Cups, and they've got a shot to make it five out of six this year. Obviously, coaches and players deserve a lot of credit, and Chris Del Conte's great puppet master, if you will, putting the right pieces in place. But you need donations, and Longhorn Nation has done a tremendous, tremendous job supporting Texas athletics.
They always have and always will.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
It's going to be the way they want winners.
I want winners.
That's exactly what they want. They want winners.
Thank you, Mike Singletary. We all want winners. So there you go. All right, little NFL conversation here, Buck.
Your guy is at camp.
I thought he's your guy. He's my guy.
He doesn't even have to be there.
Aaron Rodgers is returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He agreed to a one-year deal to return to Pittsburgh, where, of course, he was this past season. And, yes, he is reporting to Steelers OTAs today. There are eight teams around the NFL that start OTAs here on a Monday. The Cowboys and Texans are not a part of those eight, but we're starting to ramp up for the 2026-2027 NFL season. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers back in Pittsburgh. The base salary of his deal, around $22 to $23 million, can get up to about $25 million if he hits a few incentives. The 42-year-old is back, and not only is he back, he is back with Mike McCarthy again.
Dude, they said he was the first one in the building today.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yes, how about that?
I'm a little surprised that Rodgers made his decision as early as he did.
He's all in.
I figured he was going to drag this thing out the way he typically does. I mean, he already dragged it on for a long time. Free agency's over. The draft is over. I mean, it's
he knew he was coming back the whole time.
And I think you're right. I think everybody kind of knew he was going to come back the whole time. And I think he had probably given the Steelers some sort of inclination that he was planning on returning. And when Mike McCarthy was asked about Rodgers at his introductory press conference, he's like, yeah, I'd love to have him back. Of course, I'd love to have him back. So the Steelers have been speaking glowingly about Rodgers in an effort to convince him to come back. And sure enough, he is.
Dude, they got like three or four quarterbacks on their roster, or four or five. I think they've got four at least.
Well, they did draft Drew Aller out of Penn State in the third round this year. So I would think in a perfect world for the Steelers, that's their long-term answer. It's like Rodgers is the guy this year, and okay, maybe he finally does retire next offseason, and then hey, Drew Aller learns and he's ready to go and take over. I would assume that's what the Steelers are hoping happens, but I didn't see a lot from Drew Aller during his Penn State career that tells me that there's a guarantee that that's
he's not the next Ben Roethlisberger, no.
I don't think so. And look, you never know, right? You never know.
That's true.
We always talk about it. Everybody talks about it. The greatest NFL quarterback of all time was a sixth-round pick. He wasn't a consistent starter for most of his career at Michigan. If people knew who was going to turn into great quarterbacks, then A lot more people would have jobs. Right. Yeah. A lot less fired general managers around the NFL. So maybe Drew Aller, who was very up and down at Penn State, is the next Ben Roethlisberger, but I ain't predicting it. I don't have the stones to do that.
No, I wouldn't go out that far.
But your thoughts on the Steelers? Yeah, I mean, they made the playoffs last year. They got boat raced by the Texans in the wild card.
The Texans,
game.
Yeah, that's the last thing I saw of Aaron Rodgers getting thrown all over the place by the Texans defense.
Yeah, it was a pretty disastrous showing. And look, the Texans defense made a lot of very good quarterbacks look bad last year. Aaron Rodgers had a solid statistical season. I mean, obviously not in his prime anymore, not the four-time MVP that we saw for years in Green Bay, but, you know, 66% completion percentage, 24 touchdowns, just 7 interceptions. He was efficient. He's not a superstar. I don't know. The Steelers, you think they can get back to the playoffs this year?
Well, it all depends on how their defense is. If they get him the ball in some right situations, are they going to be okay defensively? You know, are they going to start running out of gas because of how bad the offense has kind of been over the last couple of years? If they're good defensively, he should be fine if he stays healthy.
My biggest question is, are there going to be enough food to eat in the facilities now that Mike McCarthy's the head coach?
Yeah, you're worried about meals.
I'm just making sure that everyone is well nourished, because.
And when do those two get pissed at each other? When does Aaron Rodgers have enough of that guy? You know, if they start losing, he'll start blaming the head coach for not doing this or not doing that, because it can't be about Aaron Rodgers if they lose.
Will it go? I mean, it took like a decade and a half for things to sour in Green Bay. It can't get that bad in one season, can it?
Oh, with that guy on his last leg, of course it can. It can be all about the new head coach.
Well, they're going to side with McCarthy this time. Obviously, in Green Bay, they sided with Rodgers because McCarthy got shown the door. But, you know, Rodgers is on a one-year deal. You signed McCarthy to a long-term contract. You hope he's your coach for a while, right?
Well, yeah, and he's done pretty good with, you know, young quarterbacks, and he's got some young quarterbacks. So this isn't – they don't expect Aaron Rodgers to be around the next 3 or 4 years. Well, maybe he will, though. Maybe it's not over with. Maybe he'll play till he's 45.
Yeah, you've been trying to retire Aaron for a long time. I keep telling you, he's not leaving. He's not leaving. He's Jordan Belfort in the Wolf of Wall Street, all right?
He just can't go away, can he?
Can't go away. No, can't go away. He needs people talking about him all the time. And congratulations, Aaron Rodgers. You got
I'm not a fan of the Steelers anyway, so that's fine with me if he goes and looks awful. And I know you're not a fan.
The Steelers are in such a horrible spot, and I love it as a Steelers hater. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Right? They're never bad enough to get a top flight quarterback at the top of the draft, and they haven't been good enough to compete for a Super Bowl in a long time.
Right.
The worst place to be in the NFL is like 8-8. I guess now it's, you know, 8-9 or 9-8, whatever. Like the Steelers, they're not good enough to compete for a Super Bowl. And that'll be the case again this season. But they're not going to be bad enough to where they'll be able to get an Arch Manning or a Dante Moore or somebody else who's at the top of the quarterback
class. They won their division, didn't they, last year?
Yeah. Well, they missed it because, I mean, Baltimore, like no one was good in that division.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow was hurt. I mean, Baltimore, they got rid of Justin Tucker, and their kicker missed a 40-yard field goal that would have put them in the playoffs. But, like, neither of those teams were any good. So it's not like, yeah, they won the division. They were great. No, they stumbled into the postseason, and they got embarrassed.
Yeah, they get
in a game where C.J. Stroud turned it over 40 times.
Yeah, you get to win that division if you win 9 or 10 games anyway.
That's what it's become. And, yeah, I don't know. That Baltimore should be better. Cincinnati should be better. Cleveland's Cleveland. But it might be first to 10 wins in the AFC North again.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe the Steelers get there again, and maybe they get embarrassed by whoever the 5 seed in the AFC is again.
Absolutely.
Probably how it's going to go down. All right, we will take your thoughts. The Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. Live chats are rocking and rolling as well. We'll get to the BBK news in a moment. Scary incident in Austin yesterday. We'll talk about that. And then a very good airplane story. It's been a while, so we've got a good one for the people here on a Monday. But before we get to those, how about another round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, our good friend Matt King, he's about to go on that 2,000-mile ride, folks, across this country. And he's doing it for not only the state of Texas, he's doing it for the whole country. And we love him for doing that. And folks, therideproject.com is very important to him. It's very important to us. It should be very important to you too. Along the way, he is going to do this. He's trying to gather $1 million and give $1 million away along the ride to communities in need. That is what therideproject.com is all about. So if you've got a little extra coin hanging around before the summertime, before you take that vacation, please donate to therideproject.com to help Matt King help out people all over this country. A 2,000-mile bike ride. Yep. For therideproject.com. Awesome.
Amazing. Amazing journey for an amazing cause done by an amazing human being. Yes. Therideproject.com for more information. Also, some love to Altstadt beer. You know, Matt King finishes that ride. He might want a couple of cold Altstadt beers.
Yes, indeed.
I'll want a few Altstadt beers just watching the guy ride the bike. That'll make me tired. Love me some Altstadt. Had a few of them over the weekend, watching all of the sports and just enjoying the beautiful warm weather we had in Central Texas. So many great sports happenings, and we're about to hit summertime in Austin. You need a great beer to get you through your summer. That is Altstadt. Brewed locally in Fredericksburg, easy to find, available all across the Lone Star State. They've got a bunch of different brews. Check out their Peach Rattler. It's their summer seasonal, back in stores. Fantastic beer. Made with juice from real Fredericksburg peaches. I'm usually not a fruit beer guy. I like to keep those things separate. They hit the nail on the head with this one. Give it a go. That's not your thing. They've got the lager, the pils, the Hefeweizen, the Kolsch, the light beer. Something for every beer drinker out there. Get you some the next time you're at the store or at your favorite bar and restaurant. It's Altstadt beer. No impurities. No regrets.
Wonderful.
Some love to our guy, Dr. Chad, sleepcyclecenters.com. If you are a snorer, or if your significant other is a snorer, reach out to Sleep Cycle Center. Our guy, Dr. Chad, will help make your sleeping problems go away forever. And it's not just CPAP. They have all sorts of things that they could try to make your snoring issues or just your sleep apnea go away for good. This is a serious issue. It's not just annoying to the person sleeping next to you. It can be the sign of a serious health problem. More than 22 million Americans have undiagnosed sleep apnea. That could be you. Go get these problems taken care of. Free consultations if you mention this show, and you're going to get $100 off an at-home sleep study if you mention Bucky and BK at either of the two Austin area locations, one up north, 183 and Breaker, the other in Lakeway off of 620. sleepcyclecenters.com for more information. All right, the BBK news here to wrap up a Monday show. Boy, scary incidents, plural, here in Austin over the weekend. I was watching some golf, some softball, some baseball yesterday, and all of a sudden, I get one of those alerts on the TV scrolling across the top. And typically, like, those alerts are for, like, a child abduction in some small city that's nowhere close.
Some old person getting loose, yeah.
Right. And it's, of course, I care about it. Like, that's bad. That shouldn't happen. But it's like, all right, there's really nothing I can do or should do about this right now. Or sometimes it's severe thunderstorm warning or flood warning, whatever. But I'm like listening to this and I hear Travis County. I'm like, oh, there's a shelter in place warning issue.
Yeah, I kept seeing that one too. I got a little nervous.
Yeah, to folks around Travis County and Williamson County and just a bunch of areas here in Central Texas. And, you know, the Austin Police Department puts out a tweet saying that officers were searching for suspects linked to multiple shootings that occurred over the weekend. And, you know, it's like right by South Southwest Austin was a lot of the area that they're basically saying, hey, if you live here, stay home. So I'm like, all right, well, this is me. I turn on the police scanner yesterday. I'm listening, like, what's going on?
You got the scanner, you got it on. You're like the following where the car accidents are. What's going on?
I'm telling you. And, you know, we got an update yesterday saying a couple of young men were arrested, but there was still one shooter on the loose. I mean, we're talking double-digit shootings that had happened over the span of the last couple of days.
Were these dudes just firing upon people?
Pretty much. The three suspects, just random shootings. You know, a guy walking his dog, he gets shot. I mean, they were stealing cars too, so they were like not easy to track down and find because you thought they were in one vehicle, but then they were in a different one. And thankfully, all three of the suspects have been captured. I had a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. Those were the first 15
years
two,
old.
I'm telling you, using stolen guns, carried out 12 random shootings into homes, apartments, and businesses, injuring 4 people. Thankfully, nobody died, but one person was seriously injured in the shootings. And, you know, tip of the cap to the Austin Police Department and everyone for handling this situation, but obviously very, very scary for folks around the area yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that numerous times during the golf, and I went downstairs and got my piece and put it right next to my bed. I was just, and this was out, this was south. I mean, this was nowhere near where I was, but it just kept coming across as if these kids are dangerous. You know, they're just shooting people, like just randomly shooting people.
Yeah, no real motive, at least nothing as of right now that's been talked about. It's just a couple of kids.
Just being stupid.
Being stupid, yeah. And I hope they get charged as adults, too. You do stuff like that. I don't want any juvenile or taking it easy on these kids.
Oh, no,
to hell
no.
With that. They know better. Stealing guns, stealing cars, shooting innocent people. They deserve what's coming to them, and hopefully what's coming to them is a lot.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, they caught all three of them. They're all three been captured now?
Yeah, two of them were caught in South Austin, the other one in Manor yesterday. But all three of them were caught, and you know the shelter in place was lifted later in the afternoon yesterday. But yeah, scary, scary, scary stuff. Thoughts and prayers to those of y'all affected. So that's a not so good story, but you know, we like to have fun on this show. We want to end on a positive here. And we are the foremost authority when it comes to airport and airplane stories. No show, no podcast, no anything covers these better than Bucky and BK.
Nobody does. No.
We've got a good one for the people here, Buck. Read you the headline here first. Headline: insanely drunk mom punched, comma, bit flight attendant on low-cost international flight.
She had a manservant, maybe?
Here are the details. A mom, perhaps a mother of children.
Mother of children, yes.
Was arrested after she got so plastered and belligerent on an international flight that she punched and bit a flight attendant, according to a court in the UK. Zoe Alexander, I'm going to pull up a picture for those of you who are watching this program right now. This is 33-year-old mother of children, Zoe Alexander. Buck, your
bite me, please.
Bite me, please.
I mean, really, Zoe?
Yeah. She, 36, sorry, not 33, 36 years young.
Okay.
She drank 2/3 of a bottle of brandy to knock her out during a 9-hour flight from the UK to Cuba. So this was a plan. She wanted to drink and just pass out on the plane. She did the drinking part, but she did not do the passing out part. She became increasingly violent as her behavior deteriorated throughout the course of the trip. She called a female crew member a FBC. Can't say any of those words.
Wow, big, big time.
After being told not to enter the premium areas of the aircraft. So maybe she was trying to get into first class or something.
Yeah, she needed more booze.
Like, no, you can't come up here. And she started cursing out a member of the crew while also swaying from one aisle to another. She was reportedly talking loudly, slurring her words, and being overly familiar with passengers and cabin crew, which I assume means just kind of bumping in to people. And just losing her balance, which I think you'd be okay with that if you were on board that aircraft.
Sit on my lap.
Just your lap.
Sorry. Huh? I'm sorry. Fall on my lap.
Fall on my lap, please. Yeah, I'll take an aisle seat if you're in the window and you can. I'm not getting up when you want to walk by.
Yeah,
mate.
No kidding.
Her behavior became increasingly aggressive. One fellow passenger pressed the assistance button because she was worried for her children. Okay, ruining the fun for everybody
that,
else.
That's the thing. Can't be like that around kids. Sorry.
Ruining the fun for everybody else. The mom, not the mom who called her out, but the mom, Zoe, was banging on the TV on the back of the seat in front of her while yelling F you multiple times. She also attempted to light a cigarette at one point.
Oh, we can't have, you know, we can't have that now.
Classic English woman right there. And yeah, that's obviously very illegal. Restraining kit was finally brought over, at which point a 2/3 empty bottle of brandy was spotted behind her chair. So she snuck this alcohol on the plane. It's not like she just got hammered at the airport or before going to the airport. She snuck an entire bottle of liquor on the aircraft, drank 2/3 of it, got away with it, and then only got caught when she was being obnoxious. Then she punched a cabin crew member in the stomach and pulled off his tie, yelling, F you.
Yeah, too many FUs, too many kids around. And, you know, did we get to our destination? We didn't make any emergency landings. We got to our destination, right?
I believe we got to our destination, yes.
Oh, that's the most important thing. There's a lot of lessons for kids to learn through the flight, I guess.
But you asked about a manservant. Yeah, the guy she bit and ripped the tie off of was a manservant. Here's another picture, by the way, of Zoe Alexander. She punched and bit the hand of a crew member.
You can't be biting my putting hand. Nope, sorry about that.
That's where you draw the line right there.
Yeah, she could catch an elbow from me, but she's got plenty of padding.
She initially denied the charges of being drunk on an aircraft.
Oh, really?
Yep. But she pled guilty. So this is, we have this update because she's already pled guilty. We've already gone through the court proceedings here in the UK. 5 month sentence.
Going to jail for 5 months?
Plus suspended for 18 months and banned from leaving the UK for 12 months. That's the biggest punishment there. He'd love to get out of there. Also ordered to attend 20 rehabilitation days and given a 90-day alcohol absence and monitoring requirements, along with $100 compensation for each of her victims.
$100, that's it? For biting me? Oh, no, you give me more than $100.
Punched a guy, hit a guy?
For rabies, you are definitely giving me more. The rabies shots I got to take because of that lady?
You think she's got rabies?
I'm going to trust that she's got something else going on besides that bite. There's something else in her blood that I don't know.
I mean, you just said you want her to bite you, and now you're saying like...
I was only being in jest. I don't want anybody bite me.
You sure?
That nasty Brit? No thanks.
You know the teeth are not the way they're supposed to be.
They're not as clean as they should be.
No, the oral hygiene's not very good there. Yeah.
I don't understand why people don't just... Do they have like kits where they can cuff a person like that on board?
Yeah, I think that's part of the restraining kit.
Yeah, come on.
It sounds like as they were trying to cuff her, that's when she started biting and punching people. So.
Yeah, you don't think I don't like hitting
women. You don't have guns on. Like with cops, it's like you got a gun. You threaten somebody with a gun, it's like, all right, hands up. But if it's mano here, then you might get a little more resistance on an airplane.
Yeah, if those are my children there and I'm the dad and I got to help with that, I'd help with that. I can't have
you. Yeah, let me take you to the bathroom real quick. I'll help.
No, I can't have you cussing in front of my kids. I got to restrain you with some cuffs around those ankles of yours and then get those hands behind your back, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll tie you to my seat. I'll tie you to my seat here.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be sitting in the seat. You're just going to be tied.
What is wrong with people? What is wrong? She's got loose drinking that much on the plane.
A mother of children.
Mother of children, yeah.
Doesn't say if her children were on board the aircraft. I hope not. But
no, I hope not either.
There you go. So there's mother
of children.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate that.
Gosh.
There's your flight story for a Monday. And there's
she's on British Airlines. Is she on British Airlines? Probably on Alaska Airlines.
Flying from UK to Cuba. I did not see an airline. I think in the headline it said low cost international flight.
Well, none of them are low cost anymore.
Well, yeah, especially now that Spirit's gone, but you're right.
There's no such thing as a low cost airline.
And real quick, a happy birthday in order to the GOAT, Vincent Paul Young, celebrating a birthday today.
There you go.
Happy birthday, VY, turning, I think, 43 today.
Wow.
And also happy birthday to the king, George Strait, turned 74.
He is done. He's done touring for now.
Nah, he's still touring.
Of course.
He's got some shows coming later this year. Also, wow. Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, 80. One of your favorite Yankees, I assume.
Yes, he is.
And Jim Sundberg, one of my favorite Rangers.
Yep.
75. Born on this day, now dead, Pope John Paul II.
And one of my favorite popes.
He's high up on your Pope power rankings?
Yes, he's high on there.
We'll get to that another time. And then Brooks Robinson, born on this day, now dead.
Brooks Robinson.
Legend on the diamond. All right. If you made it this far, you're a legend. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow. Y'all have a great Monday afternoon. And we'll see y'all at 9 o'clock in the a.m.
Hook 'em, y'all.
Hook 'em.